for NFL. Hallelujah. You know, this camp really changed me and impacted me too. It was such an impact on me that I wanted to have one closer to home. And so, you know, we were out here for 2 years learning how you guys did it. And, man, it was so impactful that we took it back to Kentucky. And so, you know, not only are you guys changing lives around here, but you're also changing lives all over the United States. And, you know, we've had people want to start other camps, too, in New York and Indiana and stuff like that. But, you know, as those of you that work these camps know, it takes a lot to do a camp. And I don't know if I got five or six camps in me, you know what I'm saying? This is the first time I've ever done two. But even then, this is the easy part. The hard part's all the stuff that everybody else does. But, you know, it's awesome, man. Young people really need to hear just about how much God loves them and how important they are. And it's hugely important. So, all right, I'm gonna ask the young people to do me a favor. Can y'all do me a favor? Anybody get Jeremiah one favor? All right, all young people, please move over to this side. I'm about to make your life so much better. We're not talking to you, Bill. That's actually, but Angela, you're fine. But Bill, no, come over here and just get out here and just huddle in. And this is going to make your life better. You're out of the sun, shine side, getting a little bit of air, and I'm telling you, your heart can only receive what your body will let it receive. So this will make your life better. But anyway, so tonight, you know, we're talking about identity, and you know, it's like, you know, what's you know so important about identity, and why, what does it mean so much? And well, the number one thing is you know, everybody here, you're all young, and you don't look like the seasoned people on this side. If you look closely, did y'all see that picture of me up there that was up there? There were far less wrinkles in my face in that picture. And so, you know, the challenge with your physical body is it's slowly going to get older and older and older. Even yours. And so your physical body doesn't last forever, and you have a period of time where, you know, it's on this planet. But when you get born again, and when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, this new identity that we're talking about, it comes into your spirit, right? And so on the inside, you get this brand new identity. Now, this identity on is on the inside of you. Because how many know when somebody gets saved, they don't really look any different outwardly? I used to be a drug addict, alcoholic, atheist, crazy man. And I got, can y'all stop and just pay attention? Pretty please, thanks. When I got born again, I looked exactly the same outwardly. But inwardly, I became a new creation. And there is a change on the inside of me that's going to outlast my physical body. And when this physical body goes down into the earth, that new person that I am is going to last forever. And so this new identity that's given to you, it secures you eternal life. And what it means is that you get to actually be immortal, and you get to live forever. And then eventually, you're going to get a brand new physical body. But that new identity is a powerful thing, and it's an awesome thing. But that part of your walk with God happens in a moment, happens in the twinkling of an eye. I was drug addict, alcoholic, atheist. I received Jesus as Lord and Savior. I was immediately totally different, right? But now here's the challenge. That impacts your eternal life, but how many of you guys would like your life to get better right down here on earth, right? And the things that we're talking about, it'll actually make your life better down here on earth. And that's where these truths of the scriptures, when they start to get into your mind and they start to change the way you think so that you start to find out who you actually are in Christ. As that happens, that's when your life transforms and that's when you live differently. Let me give you some examples. I was raised my mother was an alcoholic. I showed some of this last night. My mom was an alcoholic and very emotionally abusive. My dad was a drug addict, alcoholic. Parents were divorced when I was 5 years old. Raised by a single mom, we were very poor. We didn't have much money. Couldn't buy the cool shoes, couldn't buy the cool clothes, all that type of stuff. And it was very hard. And I had a couple of stepdads and didn't really get along with them whatsoever. And so when you combine, and there was, my family was just crazy. And so when you combine all of those things together, what that did for the way I felt about myself and the way I value myself is it actually made me feel like I wasn't as good as other people. And so I lived very insecure on the inside. I was always trying to fit in. I was always trying to be, you know, cool enough. I was always trying to act like I didn't really care what anybody thought. But really, on the inside, I wanted to be accepted. And so I started to create a fake person that I thought everybody would like in order to be accepted. And so what that meant, you know, we didn't come for money. I was a decent athlete. I wasn't an amazing athlete. So what I started doing is I just started partying. And I became a partier. And I became, you know, someone who was going to get high, someone who's going to do drugs, someone who's going to have sex, someone who's going to throw parties at their house. And then I was also the class clown. And so I was constantly in trouble, and I was constantly trying to get attention. So I developed this fake person to try to make me feel loved and make me feel accepted. But down on the inside, I actually still was very insecure. And I was very broken on the inside. Now, and you know, of course, I shared last night that led to depression and all kinds of stuff like that. So when I got born again, I actually changed down here. But how many know right here I'm still the same? I still think like that poor broken little boy who was rejected by his father and rejected by so many people, right? And so even after I was loved by God, known by God, and was a child of God, I still walked and lived very insecure. And so the Lord, now here's the thing about it. You're all invited into this journey, right? And, you know, everyone here, if you've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're born again, you're going to heaven when you die. But God has a way to make your life better here on earth if you'll trust him enough to learn who you are and to learn who he is. How many here would like to have more confidence? Yeah, man. Confidence is awesome. Right now, I'm an extremely confident person. And it has nothing to do with anything externally. Has nothing to do with the way I look or my family or any of that. The reason I have so much confidence is I know that God loves me and I know who I am in him. And so it changes the way I live. And you all or everybody in this room is actually invited into that same place of security and strength. But it can only happen through changing the way you think and renewing your mind and allowing truth to come into you. You know, when we're talking about these scriptures and, you know, some of the scriptures that were shared this morning, these are identity scriptures. Listen, man, the Bible is the cheat code to life. It allows you to have contact with the world that created this world. And it allows you to tap into things that will make you supermen, superwomen, and to where nobody can intimidate you, nobody can rob you of peace, and you can live in a tremendous amount of freedom. And have a great time and be happy and be full of joy. That doesn't mean your life's not going to be, you're not going to have challenges because there's no such thing as no challenges. But what I am saying is there is a way into a place of confidence and peace. And it all boils down to finding out who you are in God. And God has a tremendous amount of desire to teach you this. Because, you know, when we see Jesus, anybody ever seen The Passion of the Christ? Man, that's pretty rough for your age group maybe. But it's pretty intense, man. And it's just a small speck of really what Jesus went through. But the reason that Jesus was beaten, the reason that Jesus was bruised, his beard was plucked out, he was crucified, he was whipped, and he became one with our sin, and he died, was so number one, so that you all and we all could be brought into the family of God. But it was also so that we could walk tall as sons and daughters of God and know that we have a Father in heaven. And how many know if the creator of the universe is your best friend, do you think you have anything that you should be afraid of? Like, for real, like, when you know that the one that created the stars and created the sky and, you know, God is powerful. And when you know that he's on your team, and to a step further, as a person who's born again, check it out. How many know God lives inside of you? Big deal, man. The reason we're having church tonight is not because we're under a building. How many know we brought God in here with us when we came? And so the more you can learn these things, you can tap into the power of God on the inside of you, and it'll change everything in your life. Now, you don't have to. It's the interesting thing about God. God will never force you to do anything. Everything is an invitation. It's never a forced thing. But there is, now for me, I was so messed up and so screwed up, the only way I could continue to stay on this planet is if I got my mind renewed to who I was in Jesus. Because I was so broken and so depressed, I was basically ready to kill myself and end my life. God rescued me. I'm so thankful for that. But then he also took me into a path of freedom. Because everything that God wants to give to you is to bring greater freedom in your life. One of the things God wants to set you free from is fear. There's a place in the love of God where you don't have to be afraid. And I'm not just talking about terror. I'm talking about nervous. Anybody ever feel nervous around people? Feel nervous like, you know, what am I, you know, how do I smell? What's my hair look like? Did I do something stupid? Did I drop the cow tongue today when we were playing cow tongue football or whatever? And one of the things that identity will set you free from, and this is a big deal, is self-consciousness. Self-consciousness. Because the more you're focused on yourself, the more insecure you're going to be. And the more your life has the potential to be miserable. But identity will set you free from that. And I'll show it to you in the scriptures. You know, in the garden, Adam and Eve, they were created in the image of God. And they enjoyed this a tremendous amount of freedom. And in Genesis 1 and verse 27, it said, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now, when they were created in the image of God, they weren't afraid. They weren't nervous. There was no sense of separation between God and man. The Bible says that God would come down in the cool of the day to spend time with them, and they were so excited about spending time with him. It was the Father God and his kids in a garden of absolute perfection. It was joyful and it was wonderful. But when they ate the fruit, something happened to them, and they became self-conscious. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, so he said, I heard, and this is Adam's response after he has eaten of the fruit. And now, this is what happens to Adam. His identity gets broken. He is now self-conscious. He's now ashamed. He's now afraid. And here's the kicker. He thinks God's mad at him. Now, here's the reality. God was not mad at him. There's nowhere in Scripture that it says that God was mad. God still came down to play. God still came down to hang out. But man was so broken in his identity, man was now afraid of a good God and ashamed. And so he ran off and he hid himself. And I'm going to show you the way that he talks when he's in this fallen state. He said, this is Adam speaking. He said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So at one point, Adam was just conscious of God in a state of innocence, but now all he can think about is how he's not good enough. I said, all he can think about is how he's not good enough. All he can think about is how he's just not good enough. And all of mankind has been dealing with that blighting curse of I'm just not good enough. People handle it different ways. They compete. They compare themselves with other people. They talk trash about other people to make themselves feel better about themselves. There's a million different ways that people try to hide this aching reality of not feeling good enough. Now, what's awesome is little kids. You know, all my kids are, well, I have a 4-year-old little girl, and she's still pretty much like that. How many know if we brought, there's a 2-year-old little girl around here somewhere. She's so cute. She reminds me of my daughter. And anyway, she's around here somewhere. But how many know if we brought a 2-year-old little girl up here, or a child up here, how many know they don't give a rip what y'all think about them? They don't give a rip. They're not thinking about, is my hair messed up? They're not thinking about, do I have something in my teeth? How many of y'all there set on go and ready to have a good time? You know why? Because their little conscience has not awakened to know good and evil and to be thinking about themselves on whether they measure up or they don't. How many know we all started there? Now, unfortunately, there comes a point where we all, that little piece of us wakes up, and at that point, that's when we become self-conscious again. But it is a state of innocence. And so Adam lost identity and then became self-conscious, and it hurt him tremendously. Can I have the young man that's the guitar player to come up and help me out? Amen. Well, can y'all give it up for this young man one time? He's, appreciate him. He's a blessing. But as he gets ready, I want to read something to you, and I want to give you a little bit of understanding about exactly what sin is. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man, one person, Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Now check this out. A lot of times when we think about sin, we think about it really incorrectly. We think, well, you know, sin's just doing something wrong or doing something bad or doing something you're not supposed to be doing. But really, what the word sin in the Greek is the word harmatia, and it means to miss the mark. It means to be off, okay? So man was created in God's image and was in harmony with the nature of God, okay? He was perfect. Now, when sin entered in, something became broken, and man became off, and death entered in. And everything that's sin is just getting off the path of life. So it's not just about doing bad stuff. It's actually just being broken, okay? And when sin entered in, death came, right? Now, I want to show you something on the guitar. And then if you would, will you strum one time? Let's all listen to the strum. One more time, slowly. One more time. Now, do you guys hear how beautiful that is, right? It sounds good. Do you know why it sounds good? Because everything is in line, all right? And so now we're going to come over here and commit some sin. Now, do you hear that? How many know now it's no longer in harmony? Now it's off. And let's do it a little bit worse. Over here jacking his guitar up. He's like, dang, bro, come on, man. And then slowly it gets deeper and deeper off. That's good, and you can stop now if you don't mind. Just sit there for just a second. It gets deeper and deeper off. When Adam fell, all of creation went into disharmony, and the curse came upon the planet, and that's why we have sickness, disease, earthquakes, tornadoes, destruction, and death, because everything was created perfect, and then when sin came in, everything broke. And so when you get born again, inside, you come back into harmony with the nature of God. Because God takes his righteous nature and places it down on the inside of you. And so now, that's why you can get to heaven. See, nobody gets to heaven because they're good enough. Nobody knocks on the door to heaven and says, I deserve to be here. Because the scripture clearly says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Heaven is not something that you can earn. You can only get, you can come over here, buddy. Sorry. Heaven is something that you receive as a gift when you get that new nature. And so what happens when you receive Jesus, there is an aligning and a harmony with your nature, with God's nature. Now, will you tune your guitar if you don't care while we talk? And now what happens, when I got born again, I became one with Christ. When you got born again, you became one with Christ. But as I allow the truth of Scripture to come into my mind under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and I start to change the way that I think, and I start to actually find out who I am in God, you know what happens? Your thoughts start to harmonize with God's thoughts. And then what starts to happen is your actions and your behavior start to line up with that new nature, and you become a changed person. You see, before I was saved, you wouldn't want to be around me. Before I was saved, I was a jerk. Even after I was saved, I was still a jerk for a long time. But slowly, as the truth came into my mind, now my life's different. My behavior's different. My actions are different. Now, I still make mistakes. Anybody still make mistakes? Woo! We still make mistakes. So we still hit wrong notes. But the more that the scripture says you put off the old man and you put on the new man by renewing your mind to who you are, there comes a change in your life, and then there's a fruit that comes out of you. And really, the primary fruit God's looking at after is this. God wants you to treat people the way you want to be treated. That's the whole kingdom. That big fat book called the Bible is about very simple things. God says, I want you to know I love you, receive my son, and I can change you, and then I'll just want you to love each other. And I want you to take care of each other. How many of you know if in this camp, if everybody in this camp, if you all begin to take care of each other and treat each other as if you were each other, how many know that you wouldn't have to worry about anything? Somebody would always have your back. Somebody would always be in would take care of you. And how many know you would actually really enjoy yourself because you would know that you were loved and you were accepted? It's awesome, right? And that is what we want to do in camp. And sometimes it works good, but how many else sometimes we get cranky? Sometimes we're hungry. Sometimes somebody ate our snack. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's all kinds of stuff. I'm going to hook this group up now. Give them some fan love as well. I'll get back to you guys in just a second. Even though your mullet looks fantastic in the wind, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's like, it's awesome. But the truth comes to harmonize. And when it does, you know what starts to happen in your life? Jesus starts to come out of you. And it's awesome. And it's powerful. Can we get the corded strum and you come back to this? Are you on key? Is it good? Okay, it's me. It's not you. I feel like it. I don't know. I played bass for a while, but I'm not a good guitar player. But anyway, now it sounds beautiful, right? It's back into the business. Let's give it up for him one time. Thank you, sir. And then this is where Romans 5:17, for by one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life. Amen. Now, last thing, Amanda, will you come up here and help me out with your water bottle thing? Is Amanda here somewhere? Oh, there she is. Cool. Amanda gave probably the greatest illustration for identity I've ever seen in my life this morning. And I just, like, it was just fantastic. And I don't think I could better on it. I think it was wonderful. So if you will pursue your identity in Christ, you're going to have peace, you're going to have joy, you're going to have confidence, and your life's going to be lived with purpose. And then not only that, you get to express Jesus to people. Because, you know, when we pray for people and we pray for depression to go away and sickness to go away, what we're doing is we're trying to get heaven to come to earth. The Bible says, pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so when we're praying, like if someone has sickness, right, and we're going to lay hands on them, we're praying for them, what we're doing is we're looking to bring harmony between heaven and earth. We're looking to get Jesus. How many know Jesus went around healing the sick? Can I get an amen? How many know Jesus went around and when he saw lack, he prayed and the bread was multiplied? How many know when people died, Jesus would raise them again from the dead, right? How many know death is not the plan of God? The Bible says death is the last enemy that's going to bow its knee. And so as you find out who you are, it's going to make your life better. But then also as you express Jesus out of you, it's going to make the lives of those around you better. And it's fun. It's fun to represent Jesus. And so, Amanda, will you come up here, please? And then we need someone to chug the water, right? I will chug it the rest of the way because I'm thirsty. So I can't chug it. I can't chug it like Gene can chug it, but... Well, are you thirsty? All right, yeah, go ahead, bro. No, don't crush it, though. Yeah, we need it. He was about to Christian it. Did not enjoy facing Christian in basketball. He was an absolute beast, man. he kind of carried you a little bit, but you know, that's true. All right, so will you share what you shared this morning again? Just you know, as we're right here for a moment, because you know, I just love what she shared, because you know, how many of you know that there are things that you can try to put confidence in? And she talked about this earlier. Things other than your identity. What are some things you can try to put confidence in as a young person? Give me some, help me out. Come on, help me. What do you trust in to make you feel accepted? Go ahead. The way you look. That's a huge thing in our society. Thank you for sharing that. That's a huge thing. How many of people, you know, are crushed if someone, you know, said something about the way they look, or spend so much time trying to look a certain way, right? And just like she shared, your looks are not going to last forever. They're eventually going to go away. You got to have something else. And what Amanda had shared that she put confidence in, one of the things was when you were in school. You were like a really good student and you worked really hard. So another thing you try to put your confidence in is your intelligence, right? Can anybody else name something you might want to put confidence in? Go ahead. Sports. Excellent. Sports, so true. Sports is a huge thing. So like, if I'm winning, I'm confident because everybody knows I'm a winner. If I'm not, then all of a sudden I'm crushed. And that's a really good example. Anything else? Go ahead. Your friends. Yes, your friend group. Dear God. Popularity. Can I help you out with popularity? It don't last. You get out of high school and nobody gives a rip ever again. While you're here, it's like such a big deal. Who's my friends? I got to get in a good frame. All that's like the biggest thing in the world. And I'm telling you what, man, you got 3 clicks over 18. You get out of high school, man, and you're just trying to survive. You don't care what anybody thinks about you any longer. That's a great point, though. Go ahead. I'm sorry? Acting a specific way. So you may be trying to you know, get approval from people, may talk a certain way. How many of you know one of the things that you can experience is peer pressure? Anybody ever try to pressure you into doing something that you didn't want to do? Sucks, doesn't it? You know, and I would encourage you, and here's one of the cool things about identity, the more that you're confident in who you are, people can't control you. People can't control you. People can't control you. People can't force you into doing something dumb to be accepted, because you can say no to people because you don't need their approval in order to feel okay about yourself. That's good. Anybody else have anything? Yeah. Your body. So once again, looks, how strong you are, how muscular you are, how much you can bench press, how thin you are, how skinny you are, all these things. And, you know, all of those things don't last. And, you know, just like she's filling this water bottle up, you can put your confidence in those things. But I'm telling you right now, there's always going to be somebody stronger. There's always going to be somebody prettier, smarter, you know, cooler, whatever. And one of the challenging things about your generation is this. When I was a kid, I could just compare myself to the people in my hometown. I mean, you know, with social media, you guys compare yourself with everybody on earth. And it makes it really hard because, you know, you looking around at other people think, man, I'm just really not that cool at all. This person's awesome. And that comparison, man, it'll just destroy you and it'll rip you apart. So what I'm teaching you here is I'm inviting you into a better way. I'm inviting you into a path of freedom. But here's the thing. You don't got to go this route. You can stay in the popularity route. You can stay in the way I looks route. You can stay in the sports route, the artistic route, all those things. But I'm telling you, there's a better way. And if you'll take the scriptures and you'll develop this and you get secure in your identity, it'll make you good at stuff because you'll be confident, but your identity won't be in that. Your identity will be in Jesus Christ. And it's by far the best thing in the world. And so, like she was filling her bottle up. Anybody else have any examples of things? Yeah? Your voice. You mean like your voice in what sense?
Like your singing voice.
Your singing voice. That's good. That's a great point. That's something I don't think about all the time. So if you can sing good, yeah, no, I feel that. Yeah, that's good. That's a great example. Yeah, go ahead. Your talents, things that you're good at. Are you talented? You know, are you good at, you know, video games? Are you good at, you know, art stuff? Yeah, go ahead. Social media. Oh, thank you. Gosh, that's a good one. How many likes you got? How many viewers you got? How many How many followers do you have? Man, I'm telling you what, getting set free, and this stuff that I'm talking about, identity, this will set you free from all of those things, and it'll make your life so much better. That's a great one. Anybody else? Anything else we can put our value in? Yeah? The way you dress, your clothes. Man, when I was a kid, if I could just afford a pair of Nikes, right? We could never afford, I mean, I didn't get a pair of Nikes until, you know, I don't know, until probably like I got like in high school or something like that. But like when I was in grade school, I mean, we just could not afford those shoes, man. My mom was a single mom, and, you know, I had to wear, you know, just not name brand shoes. And I would have done anything to have those shoes because I felt like if I had those shoes, I would have been somebody, right? And that's a huge thing too, your clothing and stuff like that. But once again, if you can not put your trust in those things, put your trust in the Lord. You see, you can be confident in anything when you know who you are in Christ, that you're a son of God, your daughter of God. This is not just something we're making up. This is like real stuff. Rubber meets the road stuff. Yeah. Success. Very well said. Success in ministry. How big was your camp this year? How many people got saved? How big is your church? How many views are you getting on social media? These are all pastoral metrics. And all of it, if we get our identity from it, then you know what it calls us to do? It calls us to have bad motives. And it's not about loving people. It's about impressing people. And that's extremely unhealthy. Yes? Your relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend. Yeah, check out this person I'm dating. They're super cool. They're super hot. They're super whatever. And then, and that's a thing too, man, having your identity, and this is a challenge too, having your identity in another person. That's dangerous, because how many know if your identity's in that boyfriend or that girlfriend and you guys break up, how many you're heartbroken, you feel like you lost a piece of yourself, and that's a dangerous territory. And you know, nothing wrong with all the things that I just mentioned, but we don't want to have our identity, we want our identity to be in Jesus. Yes, sir. Oh, that's so good, brother. Thank you for that. That's ammo. Look at him over there. We're about to make fun of him. Oh, yeah. But you know what? He is so secure in himself that he doesn't care. I mean, to be a Cowboys fan, you have to know who you are in Christ. She was like, don't do it. Don't go there. I'll beat you up. So your sports team, right? Where's them Kansas City fans at? Where y'all at? No, I feel you, too. But how many know that people can have their identity in a sports team so much so that if their team wins, they're happy? I'm talking to the old people now. If their team loses, then their day is gone and they're mad. Why? Because they're identifying too much with that sports team. Speaking to myself too, so I'm not up here acting like I got everything perfectly. Yes, sir.
The kind of phone you have in your hands.
Oh, that's good. That's a great point. The kind of phone do you have? What kind of phone do you have? Do you have an iPhone? Do you have the new phone? Do you have an old phone? Do you have a flip phone? How many know that people can put their attention on that too? That's good. And see, all of these things, man, these are, you God will set you free from this to where your confidence can be purely in him. Anything else here quickly? I think your job, your career, that's right. What do people say when they first meet you when you're an older person? What do you do? And now we're about to find out how important you are. And if you don't see something cool, then I'm going to talk to someone else who does something cool. Stupid stuff. And I'm telling you, these scriptures, and this, let me read this scripture to you. It'll set you free from these stupid games. Ephesians 4 and verse 22, it says that you put off concerning your former self, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and true holiness. And, you know, what we're sharing, it's not just up here running our mouth about the Bible. Like, this stuff actually works. And if you'll make a decision to really embrace who you are in Christ, it'll change everything about you. And you won't have to live in a place where you're trusting in all of those things that we just mentioned. How many of you think it would feel good to not need people to like you to feel okay about yourself? Amen. And I'm telling you right now, God has this for you. Your relationship with him. Because here's the thing. When you really serve God, you're gonna go against the grain, and you're gonna do things that doesn't please other people. You're gonna rock the boat a little bit. And the more secure your identity is in Him, the more you're concerned about what He thinks about you, and you know that He loves you and not everybody else. Amen. That's awesome. Thank you, Amanda. That was such a great thing. Let's give it up for her one time. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And so how many counselors do we have here? Who do we have that's like ministering and stuff like that? Who all we got? Come on up if you consider yourself to be a part of a ministry team and stuff like that and gonna minister. And let's just spread out a little bit and what I want to do is we're closing right here. And then we'll have some free time, but I'm going to call the young people up here in just a moment, and I want you to look into their eyes and just tell them who they are in Christ. You know? And I'll give you an example. I got my friend here. And
I'm Matthew.
Matthew. Amen. Amen. Nice to officially meet you, Matthew. Amen. And so I'm going to look into his eyes and I'm going to say, Matthew, you're a child of God. God loves you. All your sins forgiven, and you don't have anything to prove. God is well pleased with you, my friend. And that is a true statement to him. That's a true statement to every single one of these young people. And how many know they need to hear that from adults? Not just what they did wrong, not just what they broke, not just the mistakes they made. If you'll focus on the positive end of things, it'll clear up some of the negative. How many of the scripture says that we're to know each other not according to the flesh, but according to Christ? Now, I'm not saying there's not time for correction, because there is, but this focusing in on who we are, it helps all of us. How many know all of us need to hear those things? And here's the real kicker. You guys can help each other with this, and you guys can see the best in each other, and you guys can encourage each other, and it will give you a tremendous amount of help and strength. So with that, we have several counselors up here. Everybody just stand up and let's make some lines here.